The Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her. They rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they're going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There's no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked him for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was open, his tongue freed. And he spoke, blessing God. And fear came upon all their neighbors. And all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The Gospel of the Lord. Years ago, a woman who came to catechism for her children and was in one of my formation classes told me this story I'd like to recount to you and give you a message for Christmas. And it's this. One of her customs was to load her van with toys for Christmas and go down to Tijuana. If you've ever been to Tijuana, Mexico and South America is different than the United States. Often in the United States you have the city and the suburbs. Suburbs in the United States are very often very rich, very affluent. Whereas in Mexico and South America, the suburbs are usually very poor. We have a lot of slums. And that was the case. So she arrived at this place outside Tijuana, and she got out in front of this little shanty, this little shack where there was a family living. And she had her van loaded with toys, Christmas toys. And these two little kids ran out the door of the shanty, and she said, "Feliz Navidad," which is Spanish for Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas. And she said, "I brought you some Christmas toys." And the two little children, about your age, they were skinny, hair disheveled, dirty clothes, maybe one didn't even have shoes, and they said, "We don't want toys because we haven't eaten for 2 days. Could you give us some taquitos to eat?" Yeah. It's not a metaphor. It's not fiction. It's reality. How many children will be dying this Christmas of hunger? So I'd like to give you a different interpretation of Christmas. And I'd like to talk about the call to evangelical poverty. I'm sure a lot of us don't want to hear this, but I think if you don't hear a homily like this, you're going to have a saccharine, sweet, unrealistic reality of really what Christmas was. So I'd like to talk about the poverty of Christ. The poverty of Christ. Have any of you ever meditated upon really what the incarnation is? So incarnation is this, is God becomes a little child. That's incredible. The best analogy I've ever heard is from Fulton Sheen. You've heard of him? He gives the best analogy, and it's limited, but he's one of the most eloquent preachers and teachers we've ever had in the world. Let's pray that he's beatified, okay? And overcome these obstacles, no? As soon as possible. Okay, here we have it. Okay, try to imagine tomorrow morning, you get up, you go into the bathroom, okay, you turn on the light in the bathroom, and you look in the mirror, and you see a dog in the mirror. Okay? Un perro, okay, a dog, okay? Woof, woof, woof. Okay, you see a dog. Okay, so you have the body of a dog, but you've got the intellect and the soul of a human person. Okay, then after you've brushed your teeth and you've combed your hair, a little bit more difficult as a dog maybe. Maybe not. You go out into the street and there's a pack of dogs. There's a pack of dogs. Maybe 10 of them. And they look at you and they bark at you. They claw you. They bite you and they tear you to pieces. What happened to Jesus was much worse. Because the distance between you in becoming a dog, there's a distance. But the distance between God becoming man, it's an infinite distance. What happened to Jesus? Have any of you ever heard of Saint Ignatius? Not yet? Saint Ignatius Loyola. He said, Jesus came, was born to die for us. St. Ignatius. So he connects the incarnation with the Paschal mystery. Cannot separate him being born as a child with him being crucified on Good Friday, rising from the dead. So as often is my homily, I like to challenge our status quo. I like to challenge, and I say it to myself also, our complacency. We can become complacent, and we can become overly materialistic. Was Jesus born in New York here, in Greenwich Village? Was he born in Beverly Hills? Was he?
No.
Where was he born? He was born in Bethlehem. Was he born in a comfortable, luxurious palace? Hello? No. He was born in a cave. He was born in a stable. That's what Fulton Sheen says, he should be the patron of the cavemen, right?
Yeah.
Like that. Born in a stable. Do an Ignatian contemplation. Do an Ignatian contemplation. Use your imagination. Look at this. It was cold. It was damp. It was windy. It was dark. It was musty. You know what a musty smell is? And do you think the smell, the aroma was like Chanel number 5? No. As we say in New York, it stunk high heaven, huh? Cow dung. Do you know what cow dung is? Cow manure? That's what it was. He was born in that situation. And this is God. So every time we celebrate Christmas in this country, and I'm maybe more just as responsible as all of us here, it almost seems to be ironic, paradoxical, that here we have Jesus born in squalid, penury, poverty, and we end up complaining because they didn't put nutmeg in our eggnog. Complain, no nutmeg in your eggnog, and you're really angry at your mother because of that, no? Come on, wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up, smell the coffee. What poverty. And not only that, but Jesus was rejected before he was born. Abortion, right? Hello? There's no room for him in the inn. That's the saddest verse that we read possibly in the New Testament. There's no room for him in the inn. He was rejected. So once Jesus is born, he's born in utter poverty to teach us that material things cannot give us true happiness. Amen? Material things cannot give us true happiness. You can buy pleasure. You can buy pleasure, but you can't buy happiness. Amen? You can buy pleasure. Go to Las Vegas, you know, buy, you know, live it up. No, it's Miller time, huh? Live it up, huh? You can buy pleasure. You cannot buy happiness. Happiness comes from an encounter with God in your soul. Okay, one more idea. Let's go from the crib to his public life. How long was his public life? From 30 to 33. Jesus should be the patron of homeless people. You know why? For 3 years, he was a homeless. You ever meet a homeless person? 605 ramp, off the freeway ramps, you see the homeless. The guy sleeping underneath the bridges. If you're looking at me cynical, somewhat quizzical about what I'm saying, I'll prove it to you. Jesus said, the foxes, do you know this verse? The foxes have their holes, and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. For 3 years, Jesus lived as a homeless person. His roof, the starry sky. His pillow, a hard rock. His companions, the coyotes, and the birds of the air. We never hear him complain, do we? He never complains. John the Baptist lived the same way as Jesus. They're the greatest men that lived. So it's a real message for us. I know I'm preaching a counter-cultural homily. You're expecting something like Santa Claus and something like that. No. Let Santa Claus go with the elves to the North Pole, okay? No. But the message is, we can only find true happiness in Christmas when we focus upon Jesus in the arms of Mary. Amen? I saw a bumper sticker that I put on my own bumper, and it says this, wise men still find Jesus in the arms of Mary. Amen? I like that. Wise men still find Jesus in the arms of Mary. So I'd like to conclude on a very positive note. I'm looking at maybe 300 people that are like the wise men. You can be the richest people in the world in about 15 minutes. Are you listening?
Yes, yes.
When you hear the body of Christ, amen. The body of Christ?
Amen.
The body of Christ?
Amen.
When you receive Holy Communion, you become the richest people in the whole world. And the word Bethlehem means house of bread. How appropriate that Jesus, who is the bread of life, was born in the house of bread. All of you, starting today, have to become a Bethlehem. Your heart is a house of bread. Receive Jesus with love through the heart of Mary. God bless you.